The following presentation may not be suitable for young children. Listener discretion is advised. Gal Valerius got off the plane at the Atlanta International Airport feeling sleepy, sore, and a little hungover from his first leg of his flight from France. He checked his watch, knowing that he only had an hour to catch the final leg of his flight to the 2017 World Beard and Mustache Championship in Austin, Texas. Gal spent years growing his bright red beard from his chin to his belly button, learning how to groom it, moisturize it, and even braid it. Anticipation of the event gnawed at Gal for months, and here he was, almost ready to live it. Entering the World Beard and Mustache Championship is not for the faint of heart. These men, and some women, spend hours staring into a mirror analyzing every hair follicle, trying to get the right shape, the right length of their facial hair, before they face judgment from their fellow bearded and mustachioed kin. To an outsider, the affair looks like a bunch of people resembling lumberjacks or Wookiees who smell like an old man's balls. But to the insiders, the elite, these people and their overgrown facial hair are to be awed and, in an odd sense, worshipped. As Gal hurriedly checked the terminal numbers, stroking his long red facial mane amid a crowd of people, a voice caught his ear. "Gal Valerius?" it asked. Upon hearing his name, Gal was bewildered. He turned and saw a man standing right behind him, dressed in khaki slacks and a suit jacket. Gal relaxed a little. It looked like someone from the airline. "Yes," Gal replied, unsure. A thin smile spread across the man's face. "You need to come with us." That's when the crowd seemed to dissipate, and Gal noticed the two men standing across the airport corridor. They donned the same khaki slacks, guns on their hip, and a lightweight blue jacket that had DEA printed on the front in large yellow letters. Gal's stomach dropped. He knew the DEA and what they did. As he stood there in America, for the first time ever, Gal turned pale and started to shake. He instantly realized that he wouldn't be making it to his coveted beard competition, let alone out of the airport. Instead, a few hours after following the DEA agents into a lonely back room, Gal found himself arrested and facing life in prison for the dangerous dark web dealings as the infamous Oxy Monster. On this episode, pill pushing, beards, beards, and more beards, and the dark lords of the dark web. I'm Keith Korneluk, and this is your bonus episode of Modem Mischief. You're listening to Modem Mischief. In this series, we explore the darkest reaches of the internet. We'll take you into the minds of the world's most notorious hackers and the lives affected by them. We'll also show you places you won't find on Google and what goes on down there. This is the story of Oxy Monster. Boy Wonder, Dark Web Mastermind, American Kingpin. These were some of the headlines that started to surface after the 2013 arrest of a clean-shaven Ross Ulbricht, founder and manager of the first online drug trafficking website, The Silk Road. Shameless plug, we have a two-part episode of The Silk Road and Ross Ulbricht for you to listen to right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Back to the show. Media coverage of the case sparked a worldwide conversation about the use of the darknet for criminal activity. The public demanded to know how the police caught the anonymous criminal and stop other sites that would fill the hole left by the Silk Road. New threat? Law enforcement tut-tutted. There'd be no more threat now that the Silk Road was eviscerated, or so they thought. The police and media didn't realize that when one door closes, another opens, and another, and then another. Shutting down the Silk Road and locking away Ross Ulbricht hadn't put a dent in the dark web drug sales. In fact, dark web marketplaces are thriving. With the massive reporting on the Silk Road case, hackers and coders worldwide started spinning their wheels. If some kid like Ross Ulbricht could run a multi-million dollar drug website, then surely they could do it better. They too could be multi-millionaires, as long as they could keep themselves out of jail. The creators of a site called Dream Market were sure they could replicate Ulbricht's model on their own website, but without all the political ideology and, well, mistakes. Sure, Ulbricht had started the underground drug movement, but that didn't necessarily mean that he did it the best. Just like the Silk Road, Dream Market acted as your typical dark web marketplace. buyers could get anything from meth, heroin, fentanyl, cocaine, hacked passwords, counterfeit passports, stolen credit cards, and more. Users could leave their vendors 5-star ratings and reviews to decipher the really good shit from the bullshit. Gal joined the Dream Market under the anonymous handle OxyMonster in November of 2013, after the Silk Road had shut down. No, Gal wasn't new to this game, and he'd been playing it before the darknet marketplaces came to exist. Gal hadn't grown up wanting to become a drug dealer. He didn't hang posters of Pablo Escobar on his walls or memorize lines from Scarface.
Say hello to my little friend!
It was a job that he fell into during his university years. Kids were always looking for something that would fuck them up at parties, and he always had a connection that could get the partiers what they needed. One thing led to another, and he became the go-to guy for Coke and Oxy before moving his operation online in 2012. At first, Gal was hesitant about Dream Market. The Silk Road shutdown was a huge loss, and here he was, starting from scratch again. Gal knew that starting over was risky. If the police could infiltrate the Silk Road, they could be anywhere. But Gal decided that he would cross that bridge when he came to it. Gal hesitantly started peddling his stash of OxyContin and Ritalin. His first customer bought a single pill, way less than what Gal was used to selling, but he sighed and packed it up neatly under a pair of earrings in a tiny box before shipping it off. The first review came in, and then another meager order. Months went by, and Gal quickly gained hundreds of 5-star reviews. After a few more months, Gal was the highest-rated seller on the biggest darknet trafficking site. His new top-rated status also came with an added benefit: money, and lots of it. As part of Dream Market, Gal was paid in Bitcoin that went into an anonymous vendor account, where it was stored until he transferred it into a Bitcoin exchange that acts as a virtual bank. Gal had to choose where he wanted it sent, and the Bitcoin exchange would transfer the cash amount to his checking account. Cha-ching! By August of 2014, Gal was sitting comfortably on a large pile of Bitcoin when he was approached by one of the site's administrators. Most of their conversations had been transactional, but the administrator had a more personal goal in mind this time. The site's creator asked Gal to come aboard as an administrator for a weekly salary, and Gal, with dollar signs in his eyes, agreed. What the Dream Market creators failed to realize when they created the new darknet trafficking sites in 2013 was critical. It was the fact that, although law enforcement may be late to the technological party, they always have a few tricks up their sleeves. In 2014, Mt. Gox, the largest Bitcoin exchange at the time, was hit by an anonymous group of hackers who stole 850,000 Bitcoins. At the time, those Bitcoins were worth more than $450 million. Mt. Gox spiraled into bankruptcy over the hack. In the last-ditch effort to save the company, the trustees enlisted an unofficial Bitcoin tracing team to help find the missing coins. Jonathan Levin, who led the Bitcoin investigation, tracked the funds, but they found a mess. Every Bitcoin transaction is recorded on a public ledger, which means the stolen Bitcoins can be tracked. Anyone can download the entire transaction history of Bitcoin, which currently weighs in at around 160 gigabytes, and examine it or use a website to read it digitally. Levin found that the thieves had used a series of Bitcoin exchanges until reaching an anonymous Bitcoin exchange service. After the trail went cold, though Levin's team couldn't get the missing coins back, that investigation gave the hackers an idea and began to develop a Bitcoin tracing tool. Meanwhile, American law enforcement agencies were drowning in new illicit marketplace cases. With cybercrime on the rise, the government realized that they would need to use all the tools in their tool belt to put an end to the cat-and-mouse games. The DEA had landed the Dream Market case in February 2016, after shutting down the two largest illicit drug marketplaces due to Operation Bayonet. Agents immediately went undercover on Dream Market and started to buy drugs. A shit ton of them. 100 sheets of LSD, 28 grams of crystal meth, and more. And had them shipped to Florida. The vendors' names on the marketplace include Meth for Dummies, Reximus Maximus, and OxyMonster, who they noticed was also an administrator and senior moderator on Dream Market forums. It didn't take long for the DEA to narrow their sights on OxyMonster. He appeared to be the site's top seller, and agents assumed that he had the most access to the site's creators. Taking out OxyMonster would put an enormous hole in Dream Market's operations and likely lead to high-level arrests. OxyMonster's profile said he worked out of France but shipped OxyContin and Ritalin everywhere in Europe and the United States. In his admin role, he'd been very helpful to customers. He handled complaints, provided tips on drug use, and stayed anonymous on the dark web. After a few months of their investigation getting nowhere, DEA agents were joined by the FBI, the IRS, Homeland Security Investigations, or HSI, and the United States Postal Inspection Service, or USPIS. The team knew that OxyMonster had to be using a Bitcoin exchange for his payouts, but they'd need time to sort through all the data to see if they could find any links. Analysts deployed the latest Bitcoin tracing technique, learned from hackers, known as clustering. The basic idea of clustering is effectively backwards tracing. By examining blockchain activity closely, computer programs can spot accounts that appear to belong to the same Bitcoin wallet and thus are controlled by the same entity. Multiple addresses initiating the same transaction might begin to look like one person or organization consolidating smaller funds into one bigger pot. Another telltale sign is when the change from a Bitcoin transaction is routed back into an account different from the one where the funds started off. Over time, which could be weeks, months, or years, the chaos reveals a pattern, and analysts can uncover the account owner. Once accounts have been linked to the same owner, the FBI can decipher who that owner is. Linking Bitcoin accounts to real-world identities is possible because personal information tends to leak out, even when users think they're anonymous. Regulated cryptocurrency exchanges require people to hand over identification before using their services, but the biggest problem for law enforcement is the unregulated Bitcoin exchanges. Criminals can launder the stolen cryptocurrency into other forms of wealth. Many exchanges, like the conversion service Shapeshift, for instance, appeal to clients for their anonymity. They don't ask for identification from their users, but every once in a while, police get lucky. Some users carelessly register for accounts using personal emails, which gives police a direct link. Blockchain is only half of the equation, and the other half is all human error. The police were looking to capitalize on it, just as they had done before. While forensics worked their magic, the FBI leveraged what they learned tracking and arresting Ross Ulbricht. In Ulbricht's case, a rogue email address left lying around on a message board gave him away. For OxyMonster, any little misstep could reveal his identity. Knowing that, the FBI and HSI started tracking OxyMonster's online movements and monitored his online posts. Patterns began emerging, giving agents an online profile of OxyMonster. They knew he alternated between French and English. He kept to a specific dialect and always used two exclamation points at the end of a sentence. With that information, FBI analysts scoured the public message boards for people who fit the profile. Even after limiting their search to people in Paris, the list of potential suspects was still incredibly long. The odds of catching a darknet criminal stacked against the police once again. Until one late night in July of 2017, when OxyMonster slipped. On the Dream Market forums, OxyMonster posted about an upcoming trip out of the country. According to the post, it would be OxyMonster's first time leaving the country. With the new details, police figured that maybe, just maybe, they could check public tweets to see if any of the thousands of possible subjects were planning an upcoming vacation. FBI analysts combed through hundreds and thousands of tweets, posts, and message boards, but nothing seemed to stick because the vacation information was vague. Days ticked by, then weeks without another slip-up. The middle of August was approaching, and police had no further clues or plan to narrow down their suspect list. Then, OxyMonster announced on his profile where he informed customers that he was taking time off from August 31st to September 4th. While he was gone, he wouldn't be fulfilling orders or responding to new inquiries. This was the break the FBI had been looking for. OxyMonster had finally given them something to work with. flight dates. With the new information, the techs went back to the public social platforms to search for posts containing those dates, but they didn't have much time. FBI analysts worked around the clock for days, right up until August 28th, looking for a connection. Oxy Monster's vacation was getting closer, and the FBI couldn't zero in on a suspect. But as minutes ticked down, an analyst made a strange connection. The data analyst pulled the profile for a Frenchman by the name of Gal Valerius. The 36-year-old posted on his public Twitter account that he'd be attending the 2017 Beard and Mustache Finals in Austin, Texas. According to tweets, it would be Valerius' first time traveling abroad. The analyst looked up the event and discovered it was held from September 1st to the 3rd, within the time frame Oxy Monster supposedly was traveling abroad. Things seemed to be matching up, but before jumping the gun, agents needed more evidence. DEA and FBI agents looked through Gal's profile and found similarities between Gal and Oxy Monster's profile. Both alternated between English and French posts and used double exclamation points at the end of sentences. The FBI gave the DEA the green flag to make the arrest with sufficient circumstantial evidence. On August 28th, Gal Valerius was arrested by the DEA while en route to the beard competition. Once the FBI accessed his laptop, it was all over for Gal Valerius. Gal had Tor downloaded and saved Dream Market login credentials for Oxy Monster. With access to his accounts, forensic money experts traced Gal's Bitcoin to an off-market exchange where he registered with his personal email address. The probe led the forensic team to $500,000 worth of laundered funds belonging to Gal in an offshore account. Gal pled guilty on October 9, 2018. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison for narcotics trafficking and money laundering. Even with Valerius behind bars, drug marketplaces still continued to be breeding grounds for cybercrime. The Dream Market ran another year before service interruptions and blackouts started occurring. Shortly after, the creator of Dream Market posted that the site would be transferred to a partner company. In reality, Dream Market had been fending off persistent DDoS attacks over the past 7 weeks, with a hacker demanding $400,000 in ransom. Usually after a significant seizure or closure, like when the Silk Road was shut down in 2013, vendors and consumers shift operations to a new marketplace and continue business as usual. The system turns into a game of whack-a-mole with the authorities. This time, however, Dream Market shut down and never reappeared. Darknet marketplace creators share growing anxiety that all darknet platforms might be compromised, and nowhere is safe for them to resume their operations. The worry has sparked a frenzy of concern over the fate of online drug marketplaces and the future of following the Bitcoin. I'm Keith Corneluk, and you're listening to Modem Mischief. Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of Modem Mischief. Your support means we can keep making the show and telling these stories, and we appreciate the hell out of it. Modem Mischief is brought to you by Mad Dragon Productions and is created, produced, and hosted by me, Keith Corneluk. This episode is written and researched by Lauren Minkoff, mixed and mastered by David Swope, a.k.a. Bill Belichick's Tears. The theme song, You Are Digital, is composed by Computer Bandit. And don't forget to follow us on social media, at Modem Mischief. Thanks for listening.